The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Well, today we're in part two of a three-part series. And I suspect that some of you, if not most of us at some point or another, had that crazy little thought go through our minds as we were growing up. I wonder if I got switched at birth. Have you ever had that? You know, my sister actually almost did get switched at birth. She was born in Brazil 60 years ago, and that was back in the days when dads weren't allowed within 50 feet of the delivery room. And so he was waiting in the waiting room there in Brazil. And when my sister was born, they brought her out to my dad and said, "Here's your new daughter." And he says, "That's not my daughter." "Well, look, the name tag here has the name Cuthbert on it. It's got to be your daughter." He says, "That's not my daughter." The problem was she was black. Now, you can imagine the parents that were seeing my white little sister. You know, she was, "That's not my daughter." Sometimes I wonder if maybe she isn't my sister, but don't tell her that. I always tell people, my sister and I got along great when she left home. You know what that's like, right? I mean, she was the one who was closest to me in age, and we used to fight a lot. But anyways, imagine this scenario. Here you are, you're a teenager, and you're living in this house, and all your life, things just don't seem right. I mean, it doesn't seem like your parents could care less about you. It's like they don't even treat you as if you belong to them. Like, you can do whatever you want, and they never show love. They never have any expression of caring about you, and you just feel like something is not right. I just don't belong here. Then one day, you're up in the attic, and you notice there's a box there that you had never really paid much attention to. And you open up this box and there's a stack of papers. And as you start looking through these papers, you come to realize that this is about you. And you come to realize that these aren't your parents. In fact, they abducted you as a child, and your parents are actually highly respected citizens. In fact, your mother teaches at the university, and she won a Nobel Prize. And your father was a famous baseball player, and he owns this big company. You don't belong here anymore. This is not who you are. All of a sudden, your life is changed. Can you imagine being in that kind of a situation? Well, today we're talking about understanding that the family that we have been growing up in this world, whose father is identified by Adam, is not the family that we really belong to. The problem is that so many of us come to understand that perspective, that I don't belong. I am actually a part of a new family. Because we've actually, if you have put your faith in Christ, you've actually been adopted into a new family, but you're still living as if you're still stuck in the old family that you really don't belong to. The point of this series is to help us to understand what it means for us to be transformed by Christ. For us to move from being in this family that we were in Adam to this family that we are in Christ. And we do that by our connection with Christ. Last week we saw what it meant to die with Christ. Today we're talking about how we are raised with Christ. And it's almost like we need to put on new glasses. And these glasses will help us see life clearly. To see life as it truly is. So this morning I want to challenge you to understand that when you put your faith in Christ, it wasn't just a matter of Him becoming your new best buddy. You are actually so united with Him that your life is forever transformed and changed. His life becomes your life. You need to understand that. It isn't a matter of, oh, now I need to be like Christ because He's now my new example. Well, He is an example, but it's far more than that. You are actually intimately united with Him, which forever changes you. And that's what we're dealing with this morning. Last week, Nathan helped us to understand what it means to the fact that we died with Christ. We died to sin. We need to put off the old self. Today, we're going to look at the other side of that. We have been raised with Christ. And we want to see what that means. But before we get into the specifics of what that means, I want you to understand the bigger picture and the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't understand the significance of Christ's resurrection, we won't understand the significance of our being connected with Him. You understand what I mean? Like, if the resurrection, if we're not thinking of the resurrection from the proper perspective, we're not going to understand what it means for us to be in Christ, to be a part of that resurrection. So I've given you a chart in your notes. And this basically is a chart in the first two columns using words, contrasts from Scripture, words that compare things. And I could have made the chart twice as long, but I just took some of the key statements. And I want you to think about life in terms of two dimensions. We can say there are two dimensions of life on this planet. In the first column, now, the first column is the description, actually. The middle column, it's the heading there is old. It's Adam. And that is the description of everything related to Adam and this original creation. The word old is a great way of describing it. Because it's something that's old, it's worn out, it's run down, it's dying, it's coming to an end. And everything about Adam is described in the Bible, is pictured in the Bible as the old. It's the present age. It's everything is wearing out. And everything about the old, everything about Adam, is that it's driven by this motivation away from God and towards self-sufficiency and all about me and nothing to do with God. It's like it's an attempt to shut God out of the picture. The next column is described in terms of new. And when you think of new, you can say, you know, I got a new car, and it could be 5 years old, right? But we're not talking about new in terms of time. It's not new in the sense that Jesus came, you know, thousands of years after Adam, but it's new in quality. This is something new that is totally transformative. And everything that is related to Adam is old and worn out. Everything relating to Christ is pictured as being new. And Jesus explains a little bit about what this newness is when he comes and he heals the sick and he raises the dead. And he demonstrates that he has a kingdom that doesn't fit the categories of this world. And even the Apostle Paul, a few decades later, after Jesus left the planet, he describes Jesus, and I just love this, he describes Jesus as the second Adam, as the beginning of the new creation. It's like when Jesus comes, creation is restarted. And when Jesus comes, it's the beginning of something new, which is in the big picture is called the new creation, which will culminate in the new heavens and the new earth, which is what we look forward to. But it all begins with Jesus, and Jesus comes like the restart of creation. Instead of Adam who sinned against the Father, Jesus obeys the Father perfectly, and he begins for us a new life that transforms us forever. Now here's the problem, though. The problem is that Adam and everything that was old doesn't stop when Jesus comes. So the old is going on, going through history, and Jesus comes, and it doesn't automatically bring the old to an end, because the old is still continuing on. So when Jesus comes, and he lives his life, and when he's performing miracles in the midst of the sin and the evil that's taking place around him. Because he's demonstrating that the kingdom of God is breaking into history. The newness has begun in Christ, and he describes it to the Pharisees. He says, look, it's like new wine in old wineskins. It doesn't fit. I'm bringing something totally transformative. All you understand is death. Look what I can do. I can raise the dead. All you understand is sickness. Look what I can do. I can heal the sick. What you see is you see Satan taking control of human lives, and I can come along and free them instantly. This is something totally different. You think about your kingdom. You think about the kingdoms of this world. You think about rulers. You think about people in charge. I've got a kingdom that doesn't belong to this world. Something far greater than any of you understand. And Jesus introduces this newness, which is totally different than the old. But the old is still continuing. So we're living in this overlap of these ages. And that's what causes a tension for us. It causes a problem for us because when our lives are changed, we're part of the new, but we're still stuck in the old, right? It's like you got a foot in each side, and it's like you're trying to deal with life on this planet. And that's what this series is all about, is understanding that in Christ, we now are a part of the new, but we're still a part of the old. And so how do we live that? How do we actually practice that? The promises that were made are not just about the future. So there's a sense of the already but not yet. There's a sense that we're caught in between this time where we know that we have eternal life, and yet Paul says we wait for our life. We know that we're adopted into God's family. In fact, Paul uses this, and some people look at it and say, hey, how come Paul contradicts himself here? He says we are adopted. He says we wait for our adoption. Because it's the already but not yet, right? We're already adopted. It's like, but we haven't moved home yet, right? We haven't moved to our new home yet. So we're caught in this struggle. Now, the good news is that we don't have to wait for the future for all of these promises that God made to be fulfilled. We can start experiencing them now. And in the last column, I've got what this means for our everyday experience. So when you think about the new and the old, there's this tension between the already but not yet. Eternal life is mine, but I don't fully experience it yet. I am looking forward to life in the future, but now I begin to experience it now. I can have eternal life now and the confidence that goes with that. It means we still struggle with Adam's sinful influence. So even though I move from being in Adam to being in Christ, Adam's influence is still there because I'm still a part of this sinful world. And I still have what the Bible calls the flesh, not talking about flesh as in physical flesh. Paul does use flesh in a number of different ways. But when he talks about the sinfulness of our flesh, he's talking about that inclination towards evil that we all experience, that we struggle with, that causes that tension between that we go through. And we're also living in the overlap of the ages. We're torn between the present and the future because now they're in parallel. The future has begun with Christ. The kingdom of God is here. We're waiting for its fullness, and yet we're still living in the kingdom of this world. And I'm a part of the new creation, but I'm still living in the old creation. That's why Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, remember that great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. He's not just talking about me. Now I'm a new person. No, this is part of the new creation that God has introduced. This is something bigger and broader than we can ever imagine. And I experience new life now, but I still get sick. I still have to die physically, even though I have eternal life, because we're living in the overlap of the ages. And the key that we're looking at today is I can choose to live by the Spirit, even though I still struggle with the flesh. So you can see the challenge that we're facing. How am I supposed to live this new supernatural life, which belongs to the future, when I'm stuck in the rut of the present? How am I supposed to run in the freedom of the new creation when it seems like I'm stuck in the old creation, and it's almost like I'm on life support in this old creation? The answer is being rooted in Christ. Because I am connected with Christ, what happened to him impacts me. And the more we understand that, the more we understand what it means to live this new life in Christ and not be stuck in thinking that we still are so much a part of the old that we can't even imagine anything different. So this issue of being rooted with Christ, the key verse that we want to sort of use today, and just want to mention it, but it summarizes it for us in Romans 6:4-5. And I've given you all these verses on the screen and in your notes, just so that you don't have to spend a lot of time looking them up. Romans 6, 4 and 5. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Interesting verse there. Paul is talking about baptism as this image, as this picture of death and resurrection. And we mention that when we have a baptism. This pictures that we have new life in Christ, we've died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. But here in this, did you notice in this verse, Paul expresses it in terms of the already but not yet. Because he talks at the end there, he talks about we will be united with him in the resurrection, talking about the future resurrection, but we have been united with him in the present resurrection. So the New Testament says that I have been raised with Christ, and Paul says we look forward to the resurrection because it's that already but not yet. We experience the resurrection life now, and we look forward to it. So if there's any hope of me breaking away from the sinful life that I have in Adam, it needs to come through death. It needs to come through death. And on our own, none of us can survive our own death, right? We can't, we need to die. The only way out of this present life, this present existence, is through death. And since we can't die and raise ourselves, if we die in Christ, with Christ, and are raised with Christ, that changes everything. Then you can break away from this present evil age, from being your relationship with Adam. You can be related to Christ in his family, a part of the new creation, by transferring, by dying to that and coming alive to this. It's a complete transformation. So if we're connected with somebody who can take us through that process, which only Christ can do, that transforms us. We can die in Christ, freeing ourselves from Adam. We can be raised to new life. Now, how do we live this new life? Last week, Nathan gave us three key words that fit in here too. Because there are certain things you need to know, you need to believe them, and you need to live them. Okay? It's knowing, believing, and living. Romans 6 talks about that in terms of our death with Christ. So what are the things that we need to know, we need to believe, and we need to live? First of all, you have to know that you have been raised with Christ, okay? Now, I've already told you this, but let me show you a couple more verses to express that so you realize, you see what Paul is trying to emphasize as he explains this. The first one is Ephesians 2:5. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. How do we have new life? We are made alive in Christ. That's why today, when I look at myself, when I think about myself, I need to think of myself not as someone who is stuck in this world, not someone who is controlled by this world, but somebody who has been freed because I have received new spiritual life from God through Christ. I've been united with him. I am living in a different dimension. And you are too, if you have that new life. This is, Adam is no longer your father. God is your father. Christ is the one who has changed you and given you new life. The next verse is Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Why can we live a new life? Because in the same way that we died with Christ, we're now raised with Christ. Do you see how illogical it is to think that what God wants from me is just to be a better person? And so what God wants, the only way I can get to heaven is by trying harder, by being a good person. So if I just really work hard at not being so mean to people, not being so angry, and try to be more loving and kind and sweet, that God's going to look at me and say, oh, isn't that great? Mark is such a nice person. I think I'll let him into heaven. Like, it's so illogical, and yet it's being preached across the country in churches this morning. It makes me sad that people are thinking that somehow they can get away, escape Adam by being nice. You needed death to escape Adam. You need to die, because in Adam all die. In Christ, they all will be made alive. The wages of sin is death. You sin, you deserve to die, you have to die. But if you die apart from Christ, then it's done. But if through Christ you die with him, then you're raised with him. Now you can live a new life. You have already paid, your sins are paid for because you've died with Christ. Now you're alive with Christ. And when we're raised to a new kingdom, living in a new dimension, with the Spirit of God giving us the ability to see clearly, to understand clearly, and to be changed. Now, does that make sense? Is anybody with me here? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay, I'm sure we all say, okay, yeah, okay, Mark, you've said it 10 times. I think it makes sense. Here's the question. Do you believe it? How do we know we believe it when we actually do something about it? Let's think about this believing it for a second here. Now, the Apostle Paul has this interesting prayer in Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. In Ephesians 1, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying, this is my prayer for you. Listen to his prayer. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. We're going to look at that next week, seated with him in the heavenly realms. But do you see what Paul's saying? Saying, okay, guys, you probably know this. Okay, because I've told you this before. I've told you that you have been raised with Christ. He says, now, but you know what? I'm praying that you figure it out. I'm praying that you really understand it. In fact, what does he pray? I'm praying that you begin to understand it. He says, this concept is so huge, so much beyond us, that we need God to help us to even begin to grasp it. To begin to grasp the fact that your life doesn't have to be lived like a dead person in Adam. Your life can be lived with this new life, with the power of Christ in you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Is that pretty incredible? That God would take somebody who is a life that was completely gone, that was dead for 3 days, raise him from the dead with a new life, powerful life, after dying for the sins of the world. That same power is the power in us that raised us with him in Christ. That's incredible. It's unbelievable. Don't think that you can sit back and say, no, yeah, I understand it all. No problem. It's beyond it. If you think you understand it, you're not even scratching the surface. Like, the power is so amazing. It takes the Spirit of God to help us just to begin to grasp it. But we need to believe it. We need to believe that Christ has raised us from the dead, and that resurrection in Christ means that the power that was at work in raising Christ from the dead is at work in us. We need to believe that. And if we really believe it, it's got to change our lives. That's how you know if you really believe it. Is your life being transformed by that power, or is the power untouched? Because, yeah, you sort of know it, but it's probably not going to change this problem I have. It's probably not going to help me deal with this habit. It's not going to help me deal with this issue I'm dealing with. Because the power is, yeah, it's nice and it works for some people. If you really believe it, we need to believe it to say, yes, I have been united with Christ. I am raised with Christ. The same power that raised Christ is working in me. Now, what do I need to do about it? What am I supposed to do? Well, then this brings us to the next thing. Live it. We need to put on the new life. Now, Paul uses this concept, mentions this a number of times in his letters. In fact, he repeats it almost very similar words in Ephesians and in Colossians. I want to give it to you. I want to look at some of those key passages. The first one, Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. This is what it means. These are the implications of what it means to be alive in Christ. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now this passage, when you just slowly look at each piece, you say, whoa. Remember that word creation, how Christ begins the new creation? Look at the words he uses here, created. He uses the word creator because that's how Paul's thinking. Paul's thinking bigger picture here. In fact, in the English, in the NIV and a lot of English translations, when they say put off the old self and the new self, literally it's old man and new man. But they think, well, man, you know, that's sort of sexist, so we don't want to, let's use the word self instead of man. But it's important to understand there that Paul, when he says old man and new man, who's he talking about? Adam and Christ. For Paul, there were two men, Adam and Christ, that are representatives of the whole human race. And he says, put off what you were in Adam. That's why it's not wrong to say put off the old self, because that's what I was in Adam. I need to put that off. I need to put on who I am in Christ. I need to put on Christ because I was united with him, raised with him, living a new life. So Paul is describing this change. Now, is it a change that happens instantaneously? Trick question there, eh, Mark? Yeah. Because the answer is yes and no. Because when I put my faith in Christ, there is an instantaneous change in my relationship with God. I die with Christ. I am raised with Christ. The power that raised Christ from the dead gives me new life. I instantaneously have new life. I'm a child of God. I'm a part of God's family. I receive new birth, all kinds of ways of describing it. That happens instantaneously. But remember, we're living in an overlap of the ages. So I'm still living in the sinful world. I'm still the same person I was in the sense that I still have all those memories and habits and patterns and ways of thinking. And so I struggle with sin. So I'm a part of a new family, right? I understand now I'm a part of a new family. Now I've got to live like it. I have to believe it and I have to choose to live like that. And those are choices that I have to make day by day, patterns of sin that I have to break, new things that I learn that are wrong, that I have to put aside, new ways of thinking. So there is a transformation. The change is instantaneous, but the transformation takes time. That's why the Bible describes it in terms of justification, my relationship with God, and sanctification, that process of changing to become more like Christ, to becoming what I truly am. Paul goes on in Colossians chapter 3 to express the action that is involved in doing that, putting off the old and putting on the new. Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, these passages that Paul has, beautiful. You need to choose to set your heart, set your mind, because now you are changed. Because the transformation has taken place, because the power is at work in you, you need to make a choice now to move in the direction to live out the life that you truly are. And I love the way he talks about your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's like that. Because you've been united with Christ, you're now in him. It's an interesting, what does he mean? What are you hidden from? It's either the sense of being hidden as protected, or it's the sense of the world doesn't get it and they can't see it, right? You're hidden in Christ. They look at you and they say, doesn't make sense to me. Let's see, some kind of wacko guy. Well, they don't see it. They don't see that we're in Christ. Side note there. Now, notice as the chapter goes on in Colossians chapter 3, he continues to express this a little bit more in 3 verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Why? Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, what you were in Adam, you've taken off what you were in Adam, you're now in Christ, and have put on the new self, who you are in Christ, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. There's that creation language again. This new creation, you're part of this new creation that began with Christ. The image of God is being restored in you. God is doing a work to make you what Adam was supposed to be, which he failed to do, which Christ successfully did in bringing about that new life and the new creation. The image of God is being changed in us. And then in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's like you have been transformed. Now take that new life and live it. Put it on and practice it. It's a decision that you and I need to make every day. It's a choice that we can make and we need to make. But the change isn't automatic. In fact, there's an indication in Scripture that just because you died with Christ and you were raised with Christ, that you're not automatically living a perfect sinless life. Do you realize that Christians can commit the same sins that non-Christians can commit? Right? We can. In fact, there's a real sense in which Christians are much worse sinners than non-Christians. Right? Because we should know better. So when we commit the same sin that an unbeliever commits, we're doing it in defiance of God, in full knowledge of that, whereas an unbeliever probably, this is life, right? This is normal. So we're worse sinners than unbelievers are. Just look in the mirror and see who's the one committing the sins, right? That should change our attitude towards unbelievers. It should change our attitudes when we see somebody committing a sin that just turns us off and say, oh, how bad is that? How evil is that person? No, look in the mirror and say, how evil is that person? Because we can be just as sinful as they are because our lives are being changed. Our relationship with God is secure, but we need to live the new life. We need to understand that we can put sin to death. We can put that aside because now the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us, but we need to make the choice to do it, believing, trusting God to give us the power to live the new life, putting on the new life, as Paul says, making these choices to do what God wants us to do. Not to somehow make him happy with us. He's already happy with us. He's changed us. But to live out the life that he's given to us. Well, do you understand this? Do you believe it? Then let's live it. God has already done what he needs to do. And it's not just a matter of going to the attic and finding some papers that, whoa, this I'm not who I thought I was. God has already given it to us. He's written us some letters. He's told us, you are a new person. Study it. Find out what that means. And then live it. Let's pray. Father, it's so easy to go through life just cruising, just not even thinking about the new life that we have, the identity that we have in Christ, what it means that we have died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, we're in the process of being changed to become more like Christ. The image of God is being restored in us. Help us to understand these truths to the point that we're willing to change our attitudes, to change our desires, to change our values, so that they're a reflection of the true family that we belong to. Help us not to get distracted, but to see Christ as he truly is and understand what he's done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.